Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, fellow star beings. I am Hercules Invictus of the Olympian Arcanate. Welcome to Hercules and the Space Gods, part of my ongoing Olympian mission to better understand, interact with, and attune to the creative powers that shaped us in the dawn of time and guide us still. Tonight, I am proud to introduce Michael's Cosmic Mission with Gerald T. Farley. Greetings and welcome, Gerald.
Thank you, Hercules. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you here. And I'm delighted that with you is Diane Duncan.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Hercules, for giving us this opportunity. And thank you, Gerald, for inviting us. And Michael will come on as soon as he can get home.
Thank you, Diane.
Of course.
Okay, so what I want to start with is just a very quick summation. We started with social sustainability, which was given to us by the Celestials, the Lords of the Melchizedek, teachers and guides throughout all of the super universes. And talks about the three primary values of sustainability from which all others are derived. And this is the simple paradigm format that is utilized in all of the advanced civilizations, according to Machaventa, Melchizedek. And it's so simple, and yet everything extends from it. And we need each and every one of these seven tenets of sustainability in order to make the whole mechanism work. So that's why we go through seven different stages of light and life, because it takes that long for most civilizations to get through all of it and maintain. What it starts with is, and it's difficult to maintain this, as you'll see, because if you just look at what we have here, even though there are many, millions even, I dare say, who are aware of this, it's very, very difficult to sustain because there are many who are not ready to deal with it. And the first is the value of life. Each and every individual life is most highly valued beyond words by our Creator. We must respect the life of every other individual as being of equal value, which leads to the second value, which is equality of every child, man, and woman on the planet and in the planet and above the planet, because that is the norm throughout the divine kingdom. And the third is the equality of everyone is to attain knowledge and equality in equal measure to what they're choosing. When we think of others in relationship to ourselves, if we can begin to think in terms of absolute equality, we are aligned with our Father's truth. When we begin to recognize this, we think in terms of emotional wholeheartedness toward our brethren, along with and as well as our intellectual and socially conscious relationship to them. And that's pretty difficult with a lot of people, even especially our close relationships and family.
Yeah.
So equality This is across all perceived social, economic, and leadership areas of human existence. It takes in the entire spectrum. Equality helps us derive so many other values, beliefs, and behaviors which support our entire universe as well as our own planet. For example, this kind of perception of everyone on the planet cannot give us anything but selfless service in every moment from our own perspective. And that is so different than what we have, where we may do things for people and they may pay us for it, or which is the norm, and I'm not saying that's bad or wrong, not at all. It's just very different than selfless service. And so it's quite a leap into that. It takes some time. We can aspire to open-ended realms of development because of the third value, which is the growth. I mentioned earlier, for all who will to seek it in their human sojourn, growth is vital and paramount to ascension to paradise. With equal growth opportunities, our children can become responsible, compassionate, empathic, and loving adults, and also critical thinkers. To me, that's major. We have lost the ability, all of us, in many circumstances, to take hold, take the bull by the horns, and become critical thinkers in what's going on, especially now in our journeys. So these three values are the hingepins of all other values that develop. So everything else comes out of those. And the three core requirements for social sustainability are quality of life of all, for all, absolute equality of every child, man, and woman, and equal growth and educational opportunity for all who seek it. Now, the three core emotional factors we engage to bring this about, and it may seem like this is something, oh yes, of course we do this, but is it in every moment, and is it in every now, the present? Love, compassion, and empathy. There are too many distractions these days. It takes a lot of practice to get to that place, and I don't know that even if we're not able to get there all the time, we can still be aware enough to go back to it in any given moment. So all of this is surrounded and encompassed by the great circle of life, with full and complete respect for all life forms on, in, and around our beloved Gaia. So now I'll go on, unless there are any comments that either of you would like to make or questions.
Sure. Yeah, I would. I liked that you included, or that they included, the idea of the distractions that we as people do go through. You know, Michael and I feel like we have kind of reached a plateau as of March 20th, 2022, when the Worldwide Religion of Love had its second anniversary. We really do. We feel like we have reached a plateau and that we can't really go any further until we discuss and talk about and figure out how to proceed from here. And this is what we're going through right now, trying to figure out how then now do we proceed. And part of this, you know, you're talking about distractions. We're trying to remove as many distractions as possible in our lives because we think with this new plateau that we've reached, that to go forward, that we really need to have more time and place more priority on more of the God work. I mean, we're placing so much work right now on our home and our family and Michael's career, but we feel like that we have now reached a place where maybe we can give more time to God. So what we're trying to do, Gerald and Hercules, is trying to figure out what can we do to remove some of these distractions or to have more time for God.
And as you and I were discussing in the chat room beforehand, I'm going to send you and Michael the information that came in last night to me from Archangel Michael and Ashtar Sharan and Mother Mary, and who knows, that may be of help in regard to some assistance in sorting those things out. They're mighty beings, and I love what they're saying to us now.
Well, that's wonderful, Gerald. And I will be eager, and I know Michael too, to read the information that you send, because we really do. I'm very serious about this. We've been married for 27 years in May. Well, that's when we met, in May, but in July the 13th was the anniversary. But we met May 8th, actually 31 years ago. And we really feel like that this is the moment to really maybe try and go after some more of what you're teaching, actually. Put more time into that. Put more priority on it. So we certainly will be eager to hear that and receive that. Thank you.
Thank you. And everything that comes from me is sharing, because actually... And I want to reinforce that, because we all know it. We teach what we need to learn. So I use sharing and cut through
That's
all that
true.
Stuff.
That's true, Gerald.
So onward with sustainability. It is becoming increasingly evident that the morality once sufficient for ancient and traditional cultures is no longer suitable by itself. In the modern context, it must certainly be included in the context of a much larger moral system that does actually contribute not only to the good governance of a nation and its laws, but also supports the sustainability of that nation and of all nations, and consequently the global civilization down to each and every family, community, and individual. The old morality of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth renders everyone blind and unable to chew their food. Clearly, this is a scenario which benefits no one. A proactive morality will be required in order that civilization may move forward. Our society is presently regressing morally, which is, and I'm talking about society as a whole, because so much is coming out. It's not that it wasn't there before, because it certainly was, but more and more of it is coming to the fore, and more of us are becoming aware of it. It's creating huge imbalances and inequalities, potentially sowing the seeds of its eventual demise. Well, we can see that happening right now. In fact, it's crumbling. And when I say it's crumbling, I mean the old third dimensional paradigm, where 1% of the population owns most of the rest. And the rest are just working for them. So that needs to change, and it will change. there must develop a morality of personal behavior and social behavior on an individual level, as well as international behavior that contributes to the sustainability of all people. The short-term linear thinking prevalent in recent centuries regarding the exploitation of natural resources involving lax manufacturing practices and inadequate waste management strategies is simply not sustainable going forward. This is beginning to be reflected in the growing influence of environmental sustainability, which recognizes that corporations have a social and moral responsibility to conduct their business in ways which do not adversely affect the common good. This is becoming a major factor for organizations and corporations to consider. There is a dawning realization that profitability needs to be compliant with and supportive of the socioeconomic and environmental benefit of the individuals, families, and communities in order that businesses and corporations can continue to generate profits into the future. Humanity has commonalities to ensure social cohesion, stability, and eventual sustainability. There must be a broad understanding of the morality, ethics, and values which underlie such a functional society. It is only through the voluntary participation and observance of social ethics and behaviors that societies retain integrity and can move forward and adapt to changing circumstances. The decision to accept an advanced societal morality, however, rests firmly with that society, state, nation, community, and each individual. It must come to be recognized as simply the most efficacious way for a society to proceed in peace, stability, and eventual sustainability. It will actually require widespread consensus and agreement among community members in order to move in that direction with clarity of purpose. In order to have a sustainable civilization and sustainable societies, we must have a sustainable morality, which may then be applied to the social, economic, financial, political, and governmental arenas of life. There is, however, an ever-present danger of mixing levels, thereby creating confusion. It is essential to develop discernment regarding those criteria which form the basis of the decision-making process in all areas of our lives, in concert with the overall health and well-being of our planet. There is a personal morality, a societal morality, and a global or civilizational morality. These levels are distinctly different and require responses commensurate and appropriate to those levels. And that gets into a lot of deep discussion. There are volumes written on that. So I'm not going to go into it here, except to say that if we sit for a moment and think about it, the differences are not negative differences. They're simply differences in the overall outlook when we choose to become part of any or all of those levels of human planning or behavior. So it is essential to develop discernment regarding those criteria which form the basis of the decision-making process in all areas of our lives, in concert with the overall health and well-being of our planet. There is a personal morality, a societal morality. Yes, we went into that. These levels are distinctly different. An individual cannot take on the morality of a society, and a society cannot take on the morality of the global level. So it takes some critical thinking if we enter into, and as we choose to enter into, any of those various levels. Social conduct that is productive has inherent in it an ethical backbone that gives it strength to endure many ups and downs of social change. When this is absent, a society will lose its form and be unable to hold itself erect and move forward in time. Extreme individualism and self-centeredness leads to ultimate alienation and social dysfunction. If a society does not sensibly curb the rights of each individual with a view to protecting the well-being of the greatest number or all other individuals that comprise that society, then the resultant expression of extreme individual license, and we can see that happening now, will prove to be the very factor which will eventually cause that society to become diseased morally and ethically, and to ultimately collapse and disintegrate. Individuals in high leadership positions frequently forget that there is a tolerance beyond which the masses of humanity will not go. And we see that all over our planet these days. And that there will inevitably be revolt and resentment, as well as social upheaval, if they do not check their powers and share and devolve devolve power with the populations they purport to represent, who naturally crave social justice. It is crucial to remember and to learn from the lessons of history. If they are not learned and remembered, and that's the beautiful part of what you're doing here, Hercules, is and Diane and Michael as well.
And Michael is here. So he hears you.
And that's what we're all doing, is bringing history from our own perspective out, and that's invaluable. If they're not learned and remembered, they will be repeated. We are living in an exciting but also challenging era on the cusp of profound cultural change, where conscious social evolution can be the only positive outcome. Any revolutionary change, in all likelihood, would be wasteful, destructive, and counterproductive. Let me repeat that. Any revolutionary change, in all likelihood, and this is from the Melchizedek Corps of Teachers and Guides, would be wasteful, destructive, and counterproductive. And we've seen that over and over throughout our history. All of this will arrive in the future together with us, whether in harmony or discord. What is largely missing is a moral compass that all can agree on and utilize to assist in discerning what is sustainable socially and what is not appropriate to the level of application as a guide in the decision-making process. There is a need for a universally acceptable set of values which can be applied at any level in the social, political, and economic systems in which we live, whether that pertains to the individual, the family, the community, the society, or the global civilization. Intrinsic to being human is the desire to continually improve the quality of our lives.
Gerald, I just wanted to mention that now that Michael is here, that I wanted to put in a positive note because, you know, Michael and I are always trying to see the positive. I know that right now the morality seems like it's a very dark point in our history, but Michael and I still are moving toward the time when it will change. And right now I know we're seeing the lowest point of action and morality, but we still are putting out our message that March 24th, 2023, when Pluto will finally enter Aquarius, only for a few months, and then in 2024 it will enter until 2043. But next year, next March, just one year from now, we believe, both of us, that there will be a huge, huge change and a gravitation toward more positive morality that will be seen. So,
I would say selfless service.
Yes, and of course that too.
Thank you, Mark. And thank you, Diane. Absolutely. I'm in total agreement with all of that. How do you feel about that, Hercules?
Well, I don't know. Selfless service is kind of like a way of life, so I don't really think about it that much. We're here, we're not by ourselves.
Right.
Just do what we can do for as wide a circle of life as we can, and on many different rates of vibration as we can.
Yeah, and there's no right or wrong around it. It's we have it as a model. It's kind of the gold ring. If we can do it in every moment, and so far, I don't know anybody who can do that in every moment. But we're getting there, and I totally agree with what you're saying, Diane, in regard to, especially now, and this message I want to share with you, and I'd love to share with you too, Hercules, is from Archangel Michael and Ashtar Sharan and Mother Mary, has to do with us taking control to the point that we actually visualize the future we want, because we have shifted so much at this point that we are capable of doing a lot more than we think we can just by envisioning what we want in the future. It almost creates an archetypal energy that will gain strength the more we think about it in positive terms, if that makes any sense.
That makes sense.
Okay, so intrinsic to being human is the desire to continually improve the quality of our lives and to do so on an equal footing with all others in order to grow and develop our potential as fully as possible as we so choose. These are values fundamental to all humans. They are timeless and irreducible. There are, however, an infinite variety of individual interpretations of how to pursue those aspirations, some of which are socially sustainable and some of which are not. The aspect of equality and all that it implies regarding equal access to support, resources, and opportunity is a crucial component of a stable, functional human society. Yet it is largely absent from conventional wisdom and practice. this matter will have to be most assiduously addressed if social dysfunction is to be avoided. The egregious inequalities present in the distribution of wealth and resources to the short-term benefit of a few at the expense of the many is intrinsically unsustainable and will surely unceremoniously collapse. And we can see that happening around us now. It is, quite simply, not morally aligned with higher truth. The moral compass is nothing other than the vision and determination to incorporate our core human values and desires into our lives as individuals, as families, as communities, as societies, and as a global civilization. This is most assuredly no small undertaking, no kidding. An advanced morality lies in embracing the golden rule to do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and also, quite simply, do no harm.
Oh, then do no harm.
That's what Michael has been talking about
so much lately.
Right. And that's right from the ancient Greeks. Do no harm.
Yes.
Which also necessarily includes meeting everyone where they are along the pathways they have chosen, which can then lead to service in, for, and by the entire society. We can choose to aim for a more systems-oriented morality in the future, which will require the reexamination and new framing of the precedents that have been long established in the legal, political, and governmental systems in order to ascertain whether or not they remain fit for purpose. In this way, reliable social proofs may be created that can then be applied repeatedly, again and again, in similar situations around the world, regardless of the nation, the culture, or the ethnicity of the people involved in these challenges and controversies, directly because of an overall lack of ability and or willingness to transfer social wisdom effectively. Our generations and societies are presently disintegrating and becoming more and more ethically and morally bereft. We humans cannot grow, prosper, thrive, mature, and develop our innate potential when we live in fear and poverty. We, as a society, find ourselves in a situation that requires forethought, conscious deliberation, and the willingness to take positive social action to protect future generations of citizens. Imagine every child in every area of our community growing up in a safe, stable, nurturing home and enjoying good health, succeeding in school, and continuing on to sustainable self-sufficiency and becoming critical thinkers, each and every one. In more equitable societies, the individual becomes appreciated for the unique social asset that they are and for the unique contribution that they are making. Such a society nurtures the emergence of a subset of values which truly define our humanity, namely empathy, compassion, and care, along with a loving kindness and consideration for others, and most importantly, the necessary humility. to accept the morality, ethics, and values of societal sustainability, we can also accept the responsibilities which naturally follow. So at this point, that according to Machaventa Melchizedek, needed to be put forth so we know exactly what we're dealing with. And from this point on, we go with the many different ways that we can reach those places that we want to in our society. So I'll open it up for any comments or questions.
Thank you, Gerald. I think everyone needs to hear that because it's so appropriate for right now and what we're going through.
I had a question, Gerald, for you. So you're seeing you anticipate a shift in the morality in the heart, the love aspect.
I'm seeing it, yes, Michael.
Of the human. So
I'm seeing it with people like you and Diane and Hercules and Nick and many, many others who I'm involved with, yes. Seeing it.
Is that something that humanity is awakening to? Or is that something that the celestials are affecting, or both?
Now, that is a great question, because the information that I talked about from, there's been other information before this, but this one puts it perfectly, from Archangel Michael that I've been talking with Diane about in the chat room, and Ashtar Sharan and Mother Mary really puts the entire responsibility, along with the knowledge that we have now, the capability to co-create this all ourselves, co-create this world that we want. And so that's where we're going from here. Yes.
They
are there to assist us, but they're not going to, obviously, we know this, they're not going to do it for us, and they're not even going to be there for us to say, we need help with this. What they'll do is they'll say, okay, let's talk about that and how you can get that among yourselves.
Yeah, we feel like they are giving us the opportunity to do this.
Absolutely.
And we see it's interesting, because some of the information that we're getting, like Diane was talking about, where the set of circumstances will change and evolve such that humanity will find a more favorable set of circumstances to where they can really come step up to the plate. You know, the celestials are giving us this opportunity, and it's interesting, Gerald, because in our team meetings, in our celestial team meetings, you know, they're kind of giving us some ideas about how this future or the future circumstances may be. And the Father, the local universe Father, also known as Zeus in the Greek pantheon, well, he is saying that he is actually going to appear to people. This is what
right.
we're being told, that he's actually going to appear. I don't know whether it's in the spirit or the people will he'll take people up to that level, or he'll come down to their level, what have you, and he will proclaim himself as God. He will say, I am God, I am the one doing all of this and in charge of all this, go and sin no more. So he wants to reestablish that there is a celestial hierarchy, and he is one, if not the main player in all this. So it sounds like from what we're getting is that it's up to us, yes, but there is intervention.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Thank you for that input. It's well said.
And I'm really happy about that because, I look around. It seems like you look at certain things that are happening in this world, and I'm sure everyone has from time immemorial, and you see that humanity is kind of faltering, kind of as a general, when you look at humanity kind of in a general way, and you think, oh my gosh, can they pull themselves out of this? But we're happy to hear that the Celestials will be helping.
Well, in a way, though, Gerald, I'm kind of getting kind of what I think you are saying, that the people are going to have to pull themselves out of this themselves in a way. Because I know when I was asking the Father about the Fatima prophecies, and
right.
A lot of people are thinking today, well, God maybe is having something to do with all this pandemic and all these, prophecies of war and everything. But I'm getting from them that the Fatima messages and these other messages are to warn us what could happen, and for us to get up from our bootstraps and see what we can do to actually make a better event happen, rather than this dire prophecy that could happen if we don't. So in a way, it sounds like maybe they're saying, well, I'm warning you, you kind of have to do a lot of this yourself.
And that is why Machaventa has taken, and the whole core of Melchizedek teachers and guides, and Christ Michael, and Creator Source, by all the names that they have, are together in this. And because it didn't look like, because of the timelines and the way it was going, they did need to step in and intervene in a big way. So yes, they have intervened and said, that's enough. And things started to happen. But if you look at it, Diane, each and every person on this planet who is here now was born into a third dimensional conditioned state of being. We thought, as young children, what is going on here? Because this can't be right. And we knew on some level that it wasn't, but we didn't know how to do anything about it, because none of our peers, including some of our parents and teachers, didn't know either. It's something that's been going on for centuries. And so it's a bigger job than we may have originally looked at. However, they're coming through now like a coach giving the greatest talk to his team in the middle of the game to get them back on their feet and go on to victory, because that's what needs to happen, because we haven't allowed ourselves to be critical thinkers and to take charge of our lives in the way that we're going to
get. It does seem like they are, more than at any time in my life anyway, that they are really giving us a choice. I mean, people
right.
are not restrained in so many areas today, whether it's social or morality or whatever, and it seems like that the heavenly celestials are really saying, you make the decision yourself. What are you going to do? You have to make that choice, because you're free now to do anything you want, pretty much. What choice are you really going to make? What level have you really attained to this moment?
Right.
Of April the 5th, 2022, where are you really?
Okay, and that's where the rest of this is going. I'm going to start into education, for example, just to give us something to chew on. And this is, again, part of the Melchizedek Teachers and Guides teachings that I'm sharing on education. Regarding the vision for all education, whether in our community or across our planet, is that education finally discovers its true purpose, and that is to make a meaningful contribution to the sustainability of our world and our part in that, and to each individual and family, and to our social, political, and economic, in fact, and across the entire human spectrum, as well as educational structures in our societies. The vision is a common system of educational program curriculum throughout the world that teaches fundamentals of sustainability, and the intention is to bring every community into unity. I love that. It looks like a bumper sticker. Community.
Maybe you should do that, Gerald. Make one.
The operational effort would entail the vision, the intention, the philosophy, and the mission of this educational effort, which would include all the cultures of any community, the ethnic groups, and the social communities extant within the area. To this end, we can devise our own wording as we put this together step by step. In other words, it's free-forming. We're going to have to do this by ourselves, and the old way, obviously, is not working, and we can see it crumbling, and we can see more and more children being homeschooled. So they're changing the paradigm insofar as education is concerned. So with the idea that the best educational system addresses the sustainable needs of all individuals, families, communities, and societies of our civilization, that in doing so, our education of our children awakens the awareness in them, in all individuals, in communities and societies, that our commonalities far exceed the differences that we perceive exists between us. And finally, that the commonality of oneness and connectedness of all humans is positive and good. Our mission involves the actual implementation of plans to accomplish a vision of an intention that by using the philosophy of sustainability, which entails the complete equality of every man, woman, and child in our communities, an equal opportunity for each and every individual to attain a quality of life that can be experienced by all, and that each and every individual's life is of equality and equal growth, educational, and creative opportunities remain open for all who choose this in their lives. And that includes all of the arts as well. All of this is more clearly valued and would lead to a peaceful community through perceiving everything in every moment with love, compassion, and empathy. Today, material sustainability is a commonly understood term. It encompasses things we can see, touch, and feel, like trees, water, fish, and air. Concepts, plants, concepts in the great circle of life, like use only what you need and reduce, reuse, and recycle, and leave every place as you found it, are familiar to many. Social sustainability, on the other hand, is much harder to wrap our head around. It refers to concepts that include quality of life, growth, and equality. Many people are now realizing that we cannot truly succeed until we apply both material and social sustainability. Our societies cannot survive into the future centuries without both being equally important. People are the only resource for creativity, curiosity, inventiveness, intelligent choices, thinking outside the box. And these skills must be taught to our children just as much as planting trees and recycling and cleaning our waterways. Conscious applications of these truths will yield far more positive results than working with them separately. All of this is more clearly valued and would lead to bridging the gap to a peaceful community by all of us as brothers and sisters, manifesting the perception of everyone and everything with love, compassion, and empathy.
And so on that note, we have to start wrapping up because we have...
Okay, I've got one more paragraph.
Okay.
It's a short one. The roles of learning include mother, father, wife, husband, man, woman, child, sibling, peer, and self. And that includes the higher self or Christ self or mother spirit self, divine mother self. The spheres of awareness include physical, intellectual, mental, emotional, social, cultural, and spiritual. The balance is in ourselves, between ourselves, and among ourselves, on the planes of existence that will be meaningful in all our evolving lives, including material, afterlife, and spiritual, which would embrace all creeds, religious teachings, or purely scientific values. Education at present does not facilitate the creation of self-awareness, yet it is self-awareness that leads to self-realization, the destiny of each and every one of us. All of this is most effectually accomplished one individual at a time and one step at a time. Thank you for your patience. Hercules.
Well, thank you for your presentation. It was awesome. We have enough time for everybody to share their contact information quickly.
Go ahead, Michael and Diane.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Gerald, for having us on your show. I think these are things that I really think our leaders need to hear. I really do.
I was thinking the same thing.
If this could get out,
and I just want to comment on leaders and what leaders are in fifth dimension and beyond are the ones who create leaders out of everyone they come in contact with.
Oh,
everyone is a leader.
That's beautiful.
I like. I'll give you my information in just a second. I like leaders plus selfless service. That's what I like. I want to see that. Well, we are two people who are being guided by the Celestials, and we have team meetings, and we strive to be loving people, giving selfless service all the time. You can see a lot of our videos, well, most of all of our videos, we do have some others, but our videos are on our YouTube channel. It's Michael and Diane Duncan. That's D-U-N-K-I-N and Diane with two N's, Michael and Diane Duncan. That's our YouTube channel. We also have our 5 Urantia Book-inspired song albums on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon Music, And you can give us an email if you'd like to contact us personally at michaelduncan1@hotmail.com. Thank you, Gerald, and thank you so much, Hercules.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Hercules, with your contact information.
Oh, the best way to reach me right now is on Facebook. Just look for Hercules Invictus, and I'm there.
Thank you. And for me, I'm open to answering questions at any time. If you call, I check the phone. There's no need to leave a message. You cannot text this line because it's a landline. And so give me a call. I'll get back to you if I'm not there. But usually I am. It's area 503-385-8480. And if you prefer email, it's Gerald T. Farley. That's G-E-R-A-L-D, T as in Thomas, F as in family, A-R-L-E-Y, @hotmail.com. Thank you so much for having us on your show, Hercules.
And thank you to all of you for this wonderful conversation. Thanks to all our listeners as well, present and future. In closing, I am Hercules Invictus of the Olympian Arcanate. The Olympian Arcanate supports all of humanity's efforts to transcend this world and venture forth into the great beyond, be they metaphysical, mechanical, or even imaginal. And Hercules and the Space Gods will return this Thursday with the Olympian Starseeds Initiative, and we will have there as our guests Michael and Diane Duncan.
Yay!
Thank you,
thank
everybody.
You so very
have a
much.
Wonderful great evening.
Indeed.
Good night.
All right.
Good night,
all.
Everyone, and God bless you
God
and
bless
all the world.
God bless
thank
the
you,
world.
Gerald, for this beautiful words of wisdom.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I love you all.
I love
you
all,
too,
everybody.
And in the seconds that we have remaining, we're going to close with Mighty Elohim by Linnell
ooh.
Griffin.
This is the spirit, the singer song.